Mr. Hildebrandt has a quick question.
Yeah, I've got a legal point, Mr. Flynn. One of the newspaper reporters that's reporting on this legislative hearing continually refers to allegations. In fact, your allegations as these witnesses come up, and for the benefit of the public and the viewing public, especially at home, I'd like to have that, if it need be, corrected. Is this testimony and are these documents coming in before the city commission? Are they as the paper says, and are they your allegations, or what are they? What do we consider them?
Well, first of all, I haven't been sworn under oath yet. I'm not the one testifying, so obviously they're not mine. Right. Secondly, perhaps whoever you're quoting should go to law school to realize the significance of what's being done.
So this, it is evidence.
When the final report is prepared and the items of evidence that have been introduced so far and will be introduced the rest of the afternoon are presented to the commission together with the proposals for the ordinances, the significance of them will become quite plain.
So they're not allegations, they're evidence.
That's correct.
It's a good point, Mr. Kildebrandt. Many people have read those allegations, and I'm glad it was cleared up, at least now understood.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to say something about what just transpired here. I have not heard any of the testimony that's gone on before me, except a couple of minutes of the last person as you were closing. I'm not here to make any legal allegations in terms of a trial or anything like that. I'm here to state to you in no uncertain terms that there is only one Church of Scientology. There's only ever been one Church of Scientology. It's entire management operation has been run from Ron Hubbard through Mary Sue Hubbard through the Guardian's office. The C organization, which is the arm of the church that carries out Ron's administrative policy demands, it has always been that way. There has never been a board of directors that has ever operated autonomously within the church in any organization that I have ever been in, and I've been in almost all of them. One of the persons that I did a mission, for instance, Denny Gogley in St. Hill, England, is allegedly one of the officers of the Church of Scientology. I did a mission with him. He was nothing but a clerk. We did a mission to Scotland to handle a guy that was messing up an organization there, and we used his confessional file and his D1 file and knowledge of communist activities on his part and involvement that he had had with a stolen goods ring to run him out of the area and stop interfering with the church operations. Mr. Gogley had never, ever been in a position. He was kind of a laughable kind of guy, as a matter of fact. There was no way that he was intellectually capable of being an officer of a worldwide organization, let alone the Mother Church in England.
Could you have him define mission, what he is talking about?
A mission is a specific set of objectives. If I say I went on a mission, that means that there was a specific area that needed to be handled within one of the churches, and a step-by-step sequence of action for rectifying that situation was laid out, and I was very thoroughly briefed on what to do and how to do it. I could walk into the organization and remove the executive director, whether he was the president of the church in that state or not. I could walk in and show him my missions orders and say, "You're on your way to flag. Be ready in a half hour." And there wasn't going to be anybody that would give me any crap about it. Maybe I'm being strong in my language about it, but I'm trying to get across to you that a Sea Org member on a flag mission order or an L. Ron Hubbard personal mission, which I have been on, had unlimited ethics power in the organization, unlimited ability to walk in and remove the directors and send them packing, have them before what the church calls a committee of evidence, and have their confessional folders brought out, gone through, and charges made, and have them brought up before the committee on it. Nothing to it. That was just standard everyday stuff. The church is very fond of telling you that nobody has access to those confessional folders. It's just not true. Any missionary can order them. I used to order them brought into me so that I could see which people I wanted to take the time, because it's a very lengthy process to do a lie detector test on somebody, especially to the degree that the church does, to get into their personal history, their personal. It's just It's looking for crimes against the church is what it's looking for. You see, it's against policy to impede the progress of the church. In fact, it's a crime not to practice Scientology. You can impede the church by not practicing. So it's very standard procedure to find out who's been doing what, bring them into the office and let them know that you know what they've been doing, what's been going on. One of the techniques that's also used is to go, well, listen, we know where there were some errors in your auditing. We know where there's some case problems here. Don't worry about it. As long as you produce, as long as your production is up, the person was a registrar, their sales were up for the week, as long as you're doing that, don't worry, you'll get your auditing and we'll make everything all right for you. So I just want to really get that point across to you, that there is no separation of the various churches. I could, in fact, before I left, I used to go into the data files while being briefed for a mission, and I could pull out, the church is very fond of saying there's no connecting financial reports, yet I could walk into the files and get a complete financial report on any organization around the world. Of course, we stuck pretty much to what we were doing for that particular mission, or what we were supposed to do there, but it's just simply not true that there aren't AC2 forms, which are the church's a breakdown of the gross income that comes into the church, are scannerly sent every Thursday night to what's called data files, so that over that weekend, evaluations can be done by the Commodore staff, and if the income had dropped sufficiently in an area, a couple of people like myself could be gotten together and sent out as a team to straighten the area out and get the income going again.
One more legal point. The significance of the record-keeping process of the Church of Scientology, of which the witness has just testified one little part of, is extremely significant, and we could testify for weeks on that subject alone. Very significant to this commission, because if the Church of Scientology does produce any witnesses, you may rest assured that any subject matters that the commission wishes to question them on, there have been extensive records kept on any of those subjects, as this witness is testifying now pursuant to corporate policy, for many years. So if there were records pertaining to any educational processing that's been going on at Fort Harrison, clinics, patients being taken care of, people being taken care of and what they were treated for, children that were in the nursery, what type of education they received, what type of grades they received, guardian's office operations, any of hundreds of varieties of issues, you can rest assured, as the witness will testify, that there has been extensive record keeping about that issue. And so if a witness was brought onto the witness stand, he could be questioned in detail as to, for instance, if there was a school at Fort Harrison, where the school was, what dates the school was run, who attended the school, and what records there are pertaining to all of those items.
I think I can give you a real good example of how confessional folders are routinely used. I was fired on a mission from Clearwater in St. Phil, England. Flag had arrived at that point in time. This ties into the misuse of telex to mislead government officials too, because all of our missions were operated by Mr. Hubbard's son-in-law, who was sitting over here, or was sitting over here at the Fort Harrison, by telex. There was daily telex transmission from wherever we were in the world into Clearwater, into what was called the Action Bureau, where missions would be evaluated on a daily basis. As I said earlier, there were some problems in an organization in Scotland and in Manchester. I was for a short time alone to the Guardian's Office Intelligence Bureau in St. Phil, England. I was shown a B1 file, an intelligence file that came from the pre-clear folders or the confessional folders of the person we were going up to deal with, which dealt with sexual misconduct, orgies, and so on and so forth of an executive director of the Manchester organization in St. Phil. His wife had already had split from him and had come down to St. Phil more or less turn herself in and get back in the good grace, and she had supplied a lot of information. We walked into the organization, and I just sat the man down and told him what we knew, and told him he was on his way to St. Gill, and that if he, got back in the good grace of the church, he could probably have his organization back. The man was a medical doctor, who was also the executive director of one of the organizations. But I know of at least a half a dozen people who knew about the information that was in his confessional folder, and it was used to remove him as the executive director and get him back down to St. Hill for quote-unquote handling. Those operations were monitored via telex from the United States, from your city. Right here. There has never been a command line anywhere in Scientology that did not go through either the Guardian's office or the Commodore's staff to Ron and to Mary Sue. Wherever they have been, their aides have passed down their orders to the rest of the organization. When it moved here, Clearwater was no exception. The whole operation was here. There were just literally thousands and thousands of files. There was a room bigger than this one filled with file cabinets where they pulled off of the ship that contained the data of all the missions that had been sent out from FLAG. All that information was available right here in your city. I read it, I used it, and did my job. I couldn't have done my job without it. I had to know what was going on in the organizations in order to be able to handle the people we were having trouble with.
Those files were here?
Here.
In Clearwater?
In the bank building, right over here. That's where I was briefed.
I raised the point, that's why they need a vault.
Why they need a big vault.
I would like to read the potential legal ramifications of much of this witness testimony as was Mr. Walter's testimony, although not known at this time, are broad-ranging, and at a later point in time, they'll be made plain. But virtually all of this testimony is extremely important with regard to the proposed ordinance.
I have a photostatic copy of the original, and by the way, the data that I'm going to talk to you about from this is available in the council. So if you need copies of it, you're more than welcome to it. I'm going to have to translate this somewhat to you, but because of the terminology, however, the terminology, you can look it up in your own version of the Scientology Dictionary if when you get the telex later on. But this telex was sent to the LRH's, L. Ron Hubbard's, personal secretary in the United States by L. Ron Hubbard's personal secretary on FLAG, which was then located in the Netherlands Antilles. This was in, I believe, 1974 or 75. The name of the person was Ken Urquhart. He's well known as the LRH personal secretary. With translations, it reads to the LRH personal secretary, Toby, regarding the ship. At this time, I had just inherited the flotilla of ships in the on the West Coast, and I became the fleet captain. I'm qualified to run any tonnage, any ocean, any weather. So I was qualified as a skipper, and I had just taken it over. But the ships were in very poor shape. They had been run by unqualified personnel who didn't know what they were doing, didn't know how to maintain them, and they were placing the church at risk, basically. I had taken an aircraft carrier through renovations while in the service. I took the Apollo through one, so I knew what I was doing, and I was appointed as the captain. However, the ship was sitting alongside the dock. You have to realize this ship was 185 feet long, and it had a couple of hundred crew members on it. It was costing the church $5,000 a week to sit there. That was our budget per week, $5,000. The church wanted it out, cruising up and down the coast, doing recruiting, doing events, public events, where we could introduce people to Scientology and then usher them into the local organization, to the registrar, to be signed up for court. The telex reads, leave the threat of the rehabilitation project forces hanging over them for now. And this was regards to the staff, the ship's officers that I inherited when I took on the post. public officer, the ship's finance officer, the chief officer. These are people who had not, quote unquote, made it so far. It's just costing a lot of money. We believe the threat of the rehabilitation force hanging over them for now, have their confessional folders gone through listing all crimes found. Crimes must be verified as not auditor errors, and the criminals with the greatest treasonous action put on the rehabilitation project forces. The remainder are told that they have one more chance to come clean and go straight. Have their folders summarized and programmed for vital corrections, and then security checking, lie detector test. If then no mark changes, they go to the rehabilitation project force. Regardless of any auditing or security checking, those not going to the RPF are to get on the ball and pull their weight to complete the ship programs by the deadline already given. There's going to be no captain bill to reward. You, they make it or they don't, and if they haven't woken up to that, wake them up. Love Earth, Kenner Clark. Black and white on their own telex form that they order people to go into confessional folders. You may have a copy of it.
For the record, we will be presenting numerous actual telex operations and operations with confessional folders on the overhead projector at the appropriate time. And the significance of that issue, where probably per year, thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, numbers unknown by this commission at this point, are coming to your city and paying millions of dollars, believing that all of that information that is being given to this organization is highly confidential, is of obvious legal significance.